Radio.
Out of respect for man's creator, this is a message of concern. Stop and think about what I have to say. Hear me out, don't turn and walk away. If what I see kind of bold, well, it's a question that should run deep, deep down in your soul.
What would happen if people were sitting in churches throughout the world for centuries with the image of an African-American man as savior of the world before them?
What would happen? Tell me what would happen. Oh, it's a message of concern. What would they give to the mind of the world today? What would this do to their mind? What would this do to the mind of the world's children? It's a message of concern.
What would happen to the world's children put under a figure of a particular race, who's an inexpitiable and insane? The savior of all men.
Tell me what would happen.
Tell me what would happen.
It's a message of concern. What would this do to the mind of the world's children? What would this do to their mind? What would this do to the mind of the world's children? It's a message of concern.
Holy Quran, Surah 3, verse 64 says, say, O people of the book, come to common terms that between us and you, that we worship none but God, that we associate no partner with him, that we erect not from among ourselves lords and patrons other than God. If then they turn back, say ye bear witness that we at least are Muslim, bowing to God's will.
A message of concern. Wait a minute before you criticize. The question is long overdue, I've come to realize. This important message lends words to the wise. Take a look at the big picture and open up. Open your eyes. What would this do to the mind of the world's children? What would this do to their minds? What would this do to the mind of the world's children? It's a message of concern.
Civilized nations should want that their religion be also civilized. False worship is the worst form of oppression. We are no God. We are only men, mortal from the mortal. God creator. This is the message of concern.
Concern.
sent throughout the world with the image of an African-American man as savior of the world before them. Nations should want that their religion be also civilized. False worship is the worst form of oppression. We are no gods. We are only men, mortals from the mortals. He, God, created. Listen to the message of concern.
To be like many shaitan the regime, Bismin Madarak Manu Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Rabbilai Amin, Arak Manu Rahim, Manikiyo Medin, Yakna Abudu, Wayakna Stain, Ithina Serato Mustakin, Serato Ladin and Amta Alehim, Ayurul Megubi Alehim, Walidolin, I mean, as he refers from love and rejected. Reference of Allah from the rejected enemy, Shaitan. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds. The merciful, the redeemer, master of the day of judgment in which we now live. The alone do we serve, and thine aid we seek. O Allah, please show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast restored thy grace upon. Not those who rout is bore down, nor those who go astray, I mean. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, creator of the heavens and earth and all in between, creator of all systems of knowledge known and unknown, seen and unseen. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings forever be upon him, as the seal of the prophets and Allah's servant and messenger. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show. This is your host, Zadaya Anand Shabazz Akbar, out of Decatur, Georgia. And we are sponsored by Sister Clara Muhammad STEM School, and which means the letter S is for science. T is for technology. E is for engineering and economy or economics. Engineering, okay, yes, okay. And M is for math. And you put all those together, and believe it or not, when you check through it, it is El-Islam. El-Islam is full of science. All we have to do is check it out, read our Quran and other books pertaining to El-Islam, and you can see it for yourself. Okay, can't forget about my brother. But yes, dear Muhammad, out of L.A. He is the brother, or our brother, that shared this program, sharing this program with us. It is his program. It is his Blog Talk Radio Show. But he is willing to, and so kindly, shares it with us and asks us to work with him. And we can share it together and share with the people of our wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of Islam. And the removal of all racial images, the message of concern, serious message of concern, is the removal of all images, racial images, or any other images, statues or whatever, from worship and in our homes that portray divine. Because we know that Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, has no image. So none of these images, whether they call it Jesus, whether they call it Yahweh, whether they call him by Jehovah, whatever name they call him by, they've never seen him. There's no images. Now, if you want to call the trees, the earth, the waters, the sky, the moon, or whatever, an image, that would be cutting it short. That would be, I would say, like a misrepresentation of the creator himself. So we can think about that. We can ponder over that. We can say for the young people to let that marinate and check it out for yourself. Okay? I had asked Brother Muhammad, if you would please, Brother Muhammad Sharif and Sister Sharifa Sharif from New York, our brother and our sister, our reading partners, and partners that we share knowledge with, learn together, business-minded and religious and spiritual-minded, I had asked him, the two of them, the couple, if they would please try and help me out for the first hour. It's supposed to be from 7 until 8. So now it's 7:21, and I got a little late start because I am busy. Really, 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 really handling this is business. You know, I'm not just not wanting to be available, not making myself available for the Blog Talk Radio Show. Because I love this radio show. That's why we've been on it for 3 years, or a little bit more, 3 years. And inshallah, we continue to stay on and share with those who want to hear us. Okay? So I'm doing some business paperwork and some studying on the side, too. So I do have an exam from class I'm taking that I can. If I can, I can. I'm retired and I'm at home and I have some ailments as far as my health. But I can't let it stop me, you know, from trying to keep my stuff together as much as I can. But I can't cry myself too much. You know, I can't let it be too strenuous on me. I just thank Allah for blessing with a sound mind. you know, necessities of life, and with blessing me with my soul back. Every morning he wakes me up. Alhamdulillah. Okay, I'm going to turn over to you now, Sister Sharifa and Brother Muhammad Sharif from New York. I have been asking Brother Sujal all along, but I figure Brother Sujal, too, they have things to do as well.
Assalamu alaikum,
As-salam. I don't know who's making the noise.
No, we're in the queue. We're trying to get your attention.
Oh, that was you. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate you. You do want to, would you carry on with this till about 8:15?
Okay, we'll do that.
Thank you so much. Okay. May Allah reward you. Okay, I'm going to get back at this now before it gets you. Huh?
Okay. Just let us know when you get back.
Definitely. Because I have some of the input in too about the children this time, the latest, with the virus and shots and all this sort of stuff, medication, what they have planned for them. Okay, thank you. I'm over and out. Assalamu alaikum. I'll have the phone on. We'll just be on mute. I won't. You got it, Brother Muhammad, Sister Sharifa. Brother Muhammad, Sister Sharifa. Yeah. Brother Muhammad and Sister Sharifa, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear y'all, but you're in the queue. I opened you up. Y'all can go on and carry on and get started.
Okay, we'll start reading now. I'll start reading now until Sharifa gets ready. I'm reading for the July 23rd to 29th issue of Muslim Journal. Front page.
Okay.
The season of youthful excellence. Elderly Clubs Training Center celebrates the 30th senior graduating class. Okay, let me get to another location. She said she read it Sunday.
Okay.
I'll just tell you. Sister Dr. Mary Bethune statue is unveiled in Sanctuary Hall July 13th. I'm reading the same issue, July 23rd through 29th, page 3. It's by Andrea Butler, Florida Curio, NMPA member, Washington, D.C. Dr. Mary Leon Bethune's statue will finally be on display this month of July in the National Sanctuary Hall in Washington, D.C. An unveiling ceremony was held Wednesday, July 13th at 11 a.m. The event was streamlined live. It gives HTTP www.speaker.gov/newsroom/713221. Nancy Lugman, chair of the Dr. Mary McClung Bethune Statuary Forum, told the Florida Courier, told the Florida Courier, this is one of the most important weeks in our state's history and in the history of our country. Quote, I am so proud that the great state of Florida is becoming greater on July 13th, 2022. I am excited about her statue and all the symbolism it represents. Teachable moments for our children, students, and our community. Dr. Mary McClung was an accomplished Floridian whose efforts as an influential leader, educator, and civil rights activist made her one of our nation's most notable figures. Dr. McLean Bethune's statue will represent the best of who we are as Floridians. Dr. Bethune was the founder of what is now Bethune-Cookman University in Daytona Beach. She also was a philanthropist, a civil rights activist, and humanitarian. The university hosted a watch event during the ceremony of the Mary McLean Bethune Performing Arts Center, 698 West International Speedway Boulevard, Daytona Beach. Alumni chapters also hosted watching parties nationwide. The Dr. Bethune National Alumni Association Volusia County chapter hosted a watch party at the Beaches Entertainment Eatery at 301 East International Speedway Boulevard in Daytona Beach. WESH, a TV station, also aired the event live and streamlined it on website www.wesh.com. Matter of fact, I'll let my wife go ahead and read the rest of it. Hold on a second, please.
Okay, while you're holding on for Sister Sharifa, I'll let you have it, Sister Sharifa, when you come on. I just wanted to mention about Mary McLeod Bethune. She was right along in there with Harriet Tubman. She's one of the famous people with great invention. Okay, you ready, Sister Sharifa?
Yes.
Okay, you got... I don't know what they know. You got two phones open. Okay, thank you. Got you. Okay. That'll cut the noise out now.
Oh.
And I see one other hand is up, and I'll open that one until you can come on, until you're ready, Sister Sharifa. I just let him open. This is area code 312-399-5264.
Right, that's me. Right, that's
Oh, that's you. Okay, okay, good.
Right.
Good. Okay, you got it.
We're my husband and I on two different phones.
Huh?
Yeah. We're on two different phones now. But we're in
okay,
different
yeah,
rooms.
Yeah, you are.
The noise, the size, okay. Okay.
Okay.
I can start reading now.
You got it. Thank okay. you.
You're welcome. Okay, Dr. Bethune was the founder of what is now Bethune-Cookman University, BCU, in Daytona Beach. She also philanthropist, civil rights activist, and humanitarian. The university hosted a watch event during the ceremony at the Mary McLeod Bethune Performing Arts Center at 698 West International Speedway Boulevard, Daytona Beach. The BCU alumni chapters also hosted watching parties nationwide. The Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune National Alumni Association Volusia County Chapter hosted a watch party at the Beaches Entertainment Eatery at 301 East International Speedway Boulevard in Daytona Beach. WESH, that's WESH2 TV station, also aired the event live and streamed it on their website, www.wesh.com. That's WESH, WESH. The Statutory Hall History. Dr. Bethune's family is just as proud about the honor. Her great-grandson, Charles Bethune, told the Courier, "We are just humbled that she is being honored. It's overdue. The things that she was able to accomplish as a black woman during her lifetime and during those times was just unheard of. The marble statue is 11 feet tall and depicts Bethune in cap and gown with books in one hand and a black rose in the other. It was created by world-renowned sculptor Nilda Comas, that's N-I-L-D-A, last name C-O-M-A-S, in Pietrasanta, Italy. Comas secured the last marble that, and I have to turn to page 23, Comas secured the last marble that weighed 11,500 tons out of Michelangelo's cave in the Alps. Dr. Bethune will make history as the first black to have a statue in Statuary Hall. She is one of two representatives from Florida, along with John Gorey, who is credited for creating air conditioning. Dr. Bethune's statue replaces the one of Confederate General Edmund Kirby Smith, whose statue was removed in September 2021, federal government, and was the highest ranking African American official in government when she served as the Director of Negro Affairs in the National Youth Administration under President Franklin D. Roosevelt's administration. She also was a friend of his wife, Eleanor Roosevelt. She founded the National Council of Negro Women, which was on the founding conference of the United Nations, and served as National Vice President of the NAACP. The initial vote in the Florida House of Representatives for the statue of Dr. Bethune was, that's Roman numeral -1, back in 2018. The legislation was first initiated by then Florida House of Representatives Patrick Henry and Florida State Senator Terry Thurston. U.S. Congresswoman Kathy Casper pushed legislation at the federal level. The statue was completed and first revealed in Pietrasanta, Italy, in July 2021. It arrived in Daytona Beach in October 2021 and was displayed at the News Journal Center from October to December 2021. A smaller bronze statue of Bethune will be unveiled in Bethune Plaza at Riverfront Esplanade Park at the corner of Mary McLeod Bethune Boulevard and Beach Street on Thursday, August 18 at 9 a.m. Funds for the statue were raised by the Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune Statuary Fund, the Daytona Beach Community Foundation Incorporated, and several community businesses and individual donors. And that's the end of the article. I have something else that I would like to read that is from Brother Henry's book, Unless did anyone want to make any comment here or there, Sister Daya, in order to let anyone in the queue?
She's not back yet.
Yes, ma'am, I'm still here.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I am still here, and we do have someone. But if you have anything pertaining that you want to read pertaining to the children and as far as something
yes,
up
I
to
do.
Date, that's, you know, you want to share with us, if it's an article that you want to read or whatever, then, yes, I would like you to go on and read that. And then the others, like Brother anybody else that want to hold on, I'm sure they don't mind just holding on for a spell because sharing this particular way and everybody is participating and giving their input, and I think this is great. I really do. I think this is great because we are sharing with each other the current events, what we know, but it's about our children, this education for our children, and it's our history, and it's also some of it includes the image. So we just have to hold on. Just don't get it mixed up. We will be talking about that image as well as things that concern the children and the current status of COVID and what they have in mind for them. And I'll bring that on when I come back on myself. But I want to give. Go ahead, Sister Sharifa. Thank you.
Okay, I have two different items. One of them is an article by Sister Amatullah Amrani.
Yeah,
and
yes,
it's in the Muslim Journal, and that's
okay.
July the 23rd through July the 29th of 2022. The same issue
okay.
that the article is in of Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune. And this is on
okay.
the education page 11.
Okay.
So would you like me to go ahead and read that?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's not a long article. Well, you can judge about the cycles that we usually read. You don't want to take up all the time with the reading, you know, from one thing. But, yeah,
okay.
just go
would
right
you
ahead.
Like somebody else? Would you like somebody else
no,
to come in the queue first?
No, ma'am. I had asked God to read something. I had asked you to read because you've usually been my reading partner. And if anybody else wants to...
Oh, okay.
Next time they'll let me know when they want to be one of the people who want to bring a current event or some pertaining to, like Brother Amin does. You know, he when he comes on a lot of times, he'll bring on and speak about the books and things that he read pertaining to whatever individual that has some pertinent information or something that's relevant. You know what I'm saying? So you go right
oh,
ahead.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. This article is not too long. I would say it's kind of medium
okay.
short. Okay. So the title of it is, especially for children and young adults, of what do we have knowledge? Allah warns us against saying of him or attributing to him that of which we have no knowledge. And in parentheses, Quran, Surah 7, Ayat 33. We can know much about Allah from revealed words, from the creation, and what he blesses individuals to know. But there is so much more of which we have no knowledge. More persons are observed readily labeling what is pleasing to their senses, what is innovative or more convenient, or what results in financial gain as God's blessing. Is that a way of saying of Allah what we don't know? Maybe what occurs is not a blessing, but what will take us away from the path. Everything is with Allah's permission, but all actions are not directly from Allah. We know that evil does exist. There is the opposition of Satan to the human. And in parentheses, Quran, Surah 7, Ayat 17, with the goal of taking him and the creation out of the natural pattern and form provided by Creator. That's Surah 4, Ayat 119. All the while pretending to benefit or to simply provide temporary enjoyment. Satan and his company even take pure and natural substances and tamper with them in the laboratory and the factory and return them toxic. With our great but limited intellect, there is more that we do not know or are able to know. We can only guess the consequences of our choices. Sometimes even deeds done with good intentions do not result in the desired results. The faith in Allah may lead you to say that whatever happens will become a blessing from Allah. That is because Allah can allow us to grow from each experience, but Satan keeps his promises made. Some of these are to prevent illusions, which are things we see that are actually different from what they appear to be. Or they highlight what is attractive while omitting dangers or other negative factors. Advertisers have become experts in this process. So how do we tell what is from Allah and what is illusion? I'll turn to page 21. How can one definitely say what a person should partake of, from a food to a medication or surgical procedure, or that something is really a blessing for them? Accepting al-Islam does not exempt one from poor choices and misunderstanding even of scripture. Muslims have become adversaries to others over things of which they have no knowledge. No one can know what effects any given combination of chemicals or substances will have on all systems and processes of any particular body. No one can definitely know all long-term benefits or detriments. May we share our understanding and pray for safety from Shaitan and for Allah's blessings as he defines them. May we spend no additional time arguing or badgering, even with that of which we have knowledge. And that's the end of the article, and it mentions to contact Amatullah Amrani at whole.solutions@gmail.com. That's whole.solutions@gmail.com. And that's the end of the article. So, well, Sister Dai, do you have someone in the queue who would like to speak?
Yes, ma'am, I do. And I appreciate that, 746, I appreciate that what you and your husband just did for me. Because I was working outside doing what I had to do. And then I listened to you as well, had it on. Okay, and thank you. And maybe next time we come on Sunday evening, if you like, or if you feel like it, or if you feel like you have run across something or heard the news, if there's any pertinent information or something that we should know and you want to share with us in reference to the children, you know, then or STEM school or their education or their health-wise, then as well as, I have to bring it in now, as well as the elderly. You know, we're all included now, children, females, and the elderly, you know. So just bring it into us, you know, compile it, and as far as you want us to know, or short columns that won't take long to read or something like that, not too deep, then, yes, please bring it into us, because you seem to be the one, and I'm not what they used to call picking on you, but I'm choosing you
you know, because I see where your interests lie, and I see that you don't mind chipping in, you know, with the reading and helping out, and every little bit helps, and we all be blessed by Allah. We can all share the blessings. We thank you and your husband. Thank you so much. Now I'm going to get back with you, and we're going to do some business together. I haven't forgotten about the business we talked about. I wanted to do. I haven't forgotten. I just have to learn how to do things to take care of myself.
Important.
And you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. We'll get back with it. Okay. Thank you all, and please stay on and listen. And then I'm going to ask now if anybody has any questions or anything to contribute towards what Sister Muhammad Sharif has spoke on or read on, please push 1 on your telephone receiver, and we bring you into the queue. Okay. Nobody in addition. So we have our brother here. As-salamu alaykum, Sister Sharifa and Brother Muhammad. We have our brother here. See if I can get him on here. Okay. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Muhammad from Columbus. That is you, right? Brother Muhammad? As-salamu alaykum, Brother Muhammad. Unmute your phone, please.
Thank you for reminding me. Alhamdulillah, appreciate that. Yeah, walaikum assalam to you and everybody in the queue. And yes, like you were saying, we thank Allah very much for the help that He sends, you know, in this message of concern. And we sure appreciate, especially when the Ummis come involved, you know. And as we thank Brother Muhammad with sharing his wife and her sharing what Allah has blessed both of them with this help that you need on your program here. And being a good Ummi your own self, you know. So we thank Allah very, very much for any message that any of us bring together to show that we are loving this challenge that Allah is giving us to fight for our freedom, you know, and fight for the freedom of these children, you know, very, very, very people. And any information is better than no information. So we appreciate that very much, you know. It weighs a whole lot. And just want to briefly say myself, أُذْبِ اللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ أَشْهَدُ اللَّهِ إِلَّهَا إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَامُ And I also mean it very, very much from and I really have the opportunity, have the chance to tell each other how much we love one another for real. You know, so I get so happy when I see the women of Islam get involved, because there's so much we can learn from y'all. You know, Allah gave us to you in the beginning, you know, both sexes, and y'all have done a good job in help guiding us. But we always need your help and your input, always, you know. And as men, it helps us understand why we are protectors and maintainers of this life that Allah gives the mother, you know, the mother. We appreciate that. Really do.
That's
you
right.
know. And, That's right. And you know, so but then on the message of concern about children, you know, it was and how this image has affected them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We also had to keep it balanced, and we know that this is a worldwide problem, you know, even amongst the Muslims, because we have still not yet done what Allah sent in the final revelation for, and given us the specific job of modeling it for everyone, because at our chosen time, and I do believe that those of us in the community of Ibn Warwick Muhammad and all of us who are under his influence, regardless of what community they might be at, when they agree with their belief and the Muslims who agree that Allah God and Muhammad is his messenger, also recognize, you know, the inspiration and the guidance that Allah has sent through Imam Muhammad's life. We pray that we will all come together and model this example that is needed for the world for the first time. So we have to remember this. Mm-hmm. This will be the first time, if it's by Allah's permission, we have the courage We have the understanding, and most of all, we have the faith to go forward without turning back or peeping back, regardless of what kind of noise we hear behind us, what has chosen to be behind us by its own free will, that we have to let it go and keep moving, you know, for the benefit, because Allah said he has shown us that he's the only one. When anyone outside of those who have already said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad al-Rasulullah, if in their heart, in whatever they believe in, when they make their prayers to Allah the way that they pray, he will answer that. And he wants us to not worry about why they have not showed where we are, why they have not joined us in this wonderful freedom, this wonderful protection of Almighty God, the Creator, and all that he's given us. You know, Allah said because they have not sincerely got to that point in their development, and I won't burden them. I will not burden them for that. That's why he tells us, you know, I will not change your condition until you change it yourself. You know, so that's right. He's telling us that they praying, every human being on this earth is praying for help. So don't you know, we shouldn't worry about that. You know, we know they are. But we have to establish the model, the light, the guidance for them of the Quran and in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that they can develop their own free will to ask a lot of help themselves. You know, because right now they're praying to keep a lot of it. A lot of them are glad what they're doing. A lot of them, even though they know it's not right, they still are praying to keep their corruption. You know, they're doing wrong, et cetera. They're praying to do that. Because Allah answered all dua, so we know they're praying because they're human beings. All human beings pray. You know, they might not pray for the right thing, but every one of us call on God for help all the time. So we know they're praying, but we have to get ourselves in position to understand, just like, and not waste too much time on thinking that they are not fairly being treated by Allah. Because that's what we're saying unknowingly. You know, when we keep spending time begging and asking people to do what is already naturally in them, they're human beings. That's something that Shaitan can never convince them that they're not, because he can't prove it. They know he's not human because he can't even live in this human world that we live. He don't even exist other than when he communicates with us, you know. So they know. So the at this closing that where we at now, to where we're recognizing our own self, that Allah help is really, really near, really near. We done come a long way from being a slave, nigger, and all the different names the whole world has been calling us for 400 or 500 years. And now we are called Muslims, and now we are going toward believing Muslims, you know. So we should be thankful, be very grateful that he is making us a model for ourselves, that we're serving our own soul first. And if we accept the responsibility of being someone who no longer wants what is against his body, his mind, his heart, his emotions, and we share those things with our children, and we share those things with our children so that they can also have the same equality that we have as soon as they are born into our trust. So they're just a trust to us. Sure. But when Allah gives them us into our trust and give us that responsibility of raising them to not be impure from day one, that's why we teach them how to be clean. We help them stay clean. And as they get bigger, they learn how to clean their old self until they learn how to make voodoo, inshallah. Allah, we pray Allah, they learn one day to make voodoo. Now, we know there's abolition in the other books, you know, and their way of making abolution. You know, we see they have tried to illustrate it in many ways, dunking people underwater, dunking people in the boot. But still they know that is one of the requirements, you know, of cleaning the outside and remember to clean the inside, you know, and stay in a state of wudu, you know, that keeps them highly sensitive when dirt comes anywhere near them. You know how we cough sometimes because there'd be too much dust in the room? You know, that's the type of sensitivity we want to share with our children so that they won't like anything filthy, be it knowledge, emotion, pain, they will naturally repel away from it and get away from it, you know. you know, right. and will fight it if it attacks them. They don't want the dirt on them, you know. So we you know, and we have an example of that back in the day when we succeeded without proper guiding, that a lot of times we got to fight because somebody stepped on the shoes. Man, you stepped on my shoe? Man, look at that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Little things. That's how much we hated dirt. You know, that's how much we hated being stained, you know, accepted. And then when we understand that, that's the way we want our heart to be. Have no stain on it, no dust, no kind of impurity upon it. Then we know that we are sharing and making what we call our children all their life in this English family that we were raised up in. You know, we call them angels. And we always try to define in them what an angel is, you know. And, you know, and then when Allah came and told us, you know, if you stay in wudu and serve me right, you are a little bit above the angel in many of your deeds and actions. Alhamdulillah, that's a wonderful thing to share with something that you created, yeah. You know, because we make things and we know how we try to be responsible to them. You know, we know Allah is responsible to us. But anyway, we have to appreciate the closeness of where we are now. Because at the same time, that's how close we are losing our children. It's so easy to lose them now. You know, to the psychological effects of the images, not only of the white man who claimed that God had a son and he was white, you know, we have to make sure that no one gets himself in that position to make our children think that being right is wrong, you know. Right. We don't want them to have that type of influence on our children. But we have to look at the truth of the matter. See, what gives us children such bad psychological confusion is when they see us talk about the many things in the world that we don't like, and then they see us turn around and like them. They see us go out and buy Michael Jordan shirts. They see us go out and buy things of the world that we done taught them not to like, you know, or not to let it become a worship or attraction on them. We go out and they see us how much we admire this material word for ourselves, not for Allah's sake, or not to help do the work that Allah has given us, but for personal image of ourselves. You know, man, I got a nice home. I just, well, you know, we done, you know, you might say Shukran Allah, but you don't mean it because you're standing talking about what it does for your image. You know,
right?
And it confuses our children. You know, when they go to get some clothes, you know, and they see grown men and women of all nationalities and races and faith, but especially the Muslims, go out and buy articles that deal with sport and play. They go out with articles that make them feel like they got an ego, you know, make them forget all about Allah. That's what it makes them think, you know. And we don't realize that we turn around on the flip side of that, and our children hear us all the time saying, yeah, we need to spend money on each other, you know. And then we go out and buy a shirt. Some of us buy a shirt with Larry Bird number on it and talk about Larry Bird. You know, or talk about some other nationality or some other human being who might have in their reality a good image, but they got a cross around their neck. They letting you know what they believe. They believe in that white God. You know, that white God that God had as a son. You know, these things are very confusing. You know, when they see what they were talking about earlier, the different identities that people have, you know. See, our kids go to school, and they hear how other nationalities call each other a bunch of names, you know.
Right.
Then they come home and hear us have six or seven different names. I'm a black man. I'm African American. Some people call me a Negro, you know. Every now and then, even though I know mom and them pray five times a day, Kormakine or Korn, I've seen two Muslims use that word nigger very easily in their conversation, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they imply it sometime to each other, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you can tell because our kids are not dumb. Remember, our kids are blessed kids. They are born in Jannah, right here on earth.
Yes.
And we decide whether or not how we protect them and guide them, whether or not tail will start slipping into their way of understanding and living. First, it comes through our door. You know, remember, we still have the love for the world and the love for the false image that has been given us to that world, that sometimes you can walk in some Muslim's house and they have pictures all over the house. You know, that they can't blow no life in, you know. And we have to be mindful of those things. You know, we can't let that type of sensitivity make us accept filth in the air around us, getting back to where we started. Give us a take a little dirt on our clothes. You know, when we know that if you accidentally spill, especially men, if you accidentally spill urine on your clothes, you should go home and change it. You should be that sensitive. You know, you shouldn't do like what I see when I go into mass here. I mean, I know y'all women might see it too. I don't know. But it hurts me when I'm in the mass here using the restroom, and I make voodoo, and I see a brother come out of the restroom and do just like a white man. Just walk right on out of the bathroom. Don't wash up. Don't make – and this happens. You can go – I don't care where you go. You go to Juma. Every Friday, you're going to see somebody, us brothers, I know anyway. I see a brother come into that restroom and use that restroom, and don't put himself back in wudu or don't even wash his hands sometimes. And go right on back out there and assalamu alaikum. Those are things that we have to realize that that's the type of image that is in our reality that we in.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Because we have not established regular prayer which requires that you be in a state of wudu. You know, we have forgot what our mothers taught us when we was little, you know, how to stay clean, you know, what the purpose of water, soap and water. These are the images. You know, we go out and buy clothes that are modest, but then especially a 15 or 16-year-old Muslim child who's reading Hadith, maybe 9, and they read in the Hadith where Allah tells us not to dress like the society that you're in. So that means you have to think. So what does Allah mean by that? Do not dress like the society. And we know it means many things. Don't get off into the fad of it. You know, don't get into the self-worship, the egotism, and bowing down to each other because of they got money or that's your sport hero or that's just your hero or whatever, you know. It means many things. You know, but we have to think, what does Allah mean by it? Because when they think about all the images that they've seen, what the prophets and messengers look like, what the people of the old, what they have seen, the way they dress, has never changed either. It hasn't changed. But why is it so? Why is here in America and around the world where that the white image is portrayed at, Muslims have made mockery of about their dress of like Moses, of dressing like Isa, dressing like the women where the light of the East come out of to the West. You know, what's make us hate a brother who wants to wear a prayer, a kufi? Knowing the definition of it, it's a light. It's a light for people who don't understand that this person with a kufi on is saying, I'm a guidepost for you. Come ask me about God. Or if you need God's help, I can get you somewhat on the way. We wear and dress our outside dress for a reason. It's supposed to do dawah. Now, we know, but here we have, we was taught so well, especially those of us who were blessed to be in the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, and how Imam Muhammad came on and taught us the wisdom of the bow tie and the regular tie, what they symbolize. You know, the tongue being tied, can't tell the truth because you live in a half-butt life. You know what I'm saying? You can't really tell the truth. You're going to give half truth. And we all know that the time means that you're putting your own yoke on your neck, you know, or your own rope for your slave master to pull you around in. You belong to somebody.
Right.
But still, you know, we make our children feel ashamed and make their parents who are not aware of this feel ashamed to dress our children to look like, you know, to look like any Muslim. There is still no one who's been bold enough to step out and say, this is the dress of the Muslim. And he put on a bow tie and a tie and a $5,000 suit on and say, this is the Muslim day. He has no proof of that.
Right.
This is innovation. This is innovation from the way it was introduced to us, because they could have worn back then. They had ties and everything and back then in them days in England during the time of the revelation of the Quran to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In England and France, they were wearing ties. I mean, little sissy-looking ties, you know, with the ruffles all in them, but they was wearing them, you know. That's why a lot of people do not dress like those. When you go abroad, you know, go in a modest dress of the prophets and messengers of God when we really give the truth to it. But our children are seeing this, are reading it their own self, you know, especially when they get passed by 8, 9, 10 years old. You know,
right.
You hear how Imam Muhammad said how he started looking and to start understanding things on his own when he was looking around and comparing. That's how he knew that there was something wrong with the reality that he was born in, but he also was being taught by his father that that was not the real reality,
mm-hmm.
that he
mm-hmm.
wanted him to grow toward, and got him mm-hmm. people to teach him the truth, the clarity, that there's only one God. And he was, and it wasn't Master Farhad Muhammad to teach him who the real Prophet Muhammad was. It wasn't Elijah Muhammad, you know. It's very important when we really look at our history through the proper image that the Quran gives us of what is right and what is wrong. What the Quran gives us is what is modesty, you know, what is for justice, freedom. Our children are being bombarded in a society that we have not walked out of yet. We're almost by walking out. I believe that because and all praises to Allah. I'll tell anybody. I know Allah has been growing us. I don't have no doubt about it. I can look back over my life and see how far Allah has brought me, so close to where I know where real freedom is. And when I say I put it this way. We know what real freedom is. We know how far we are free and how far we ain't. We know how we turn down freedom every day sometimes. Not to do wrong, but just to enjoy this dunya. Just ain't ready to give it up yet. So you ask for respite. We do the same thing shaitan does. We ask them for respite. And our children hear us when we do that. Mm-hmm. Our children see us when we compromise, when we put on our Western sports shoes or socks or dress like the Caucasian farmer, the Caucasian cab driver. You know, we don't have our own dress. We don't have nothing just like I think that's right. Your husband said that all the time. Brother Akbar said all the time, and he's so true about that. We ain't got nothing of our own.
No.
You know, and what we do have, the Quran, life of example, Prophet Muhammad, we act like we are very sensitive about putting it on and living it. So we practice it.
Yeah.
So that when someone sees it, they say, oh, they just practice to be Muslim. But how long have you been practicing? Oh, I think he's been practicing about 40 years now. But then when is he going to be for real? When is she going to be for real? You know, and then with the unfairity that we put on y'all women, which is the truth now, because our children see this, you know. Well, why mama had to look like that and daddy don't, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, why daddy want to dress like he's a white man, but still he want mama to dress like she's, you know, African or from she's from the East.
Uh-huh.
You know, why he don't want to wear no kufi, a prayer hat, but he want her to put on, in their mind, they might say, a prayer scarf.
Right.
Now, how you mean prayer scarf? Well, I know she's not allowed to make prayer in the masjid unless she got one on. So I call it a prayer scarf. Why can my brother is not obligated to wear the prayer hat?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to think about the psychological effects of what we're doing to our children, the way that we're living or practicing Al-Islam.
Right.
You know, when we live it, they'll see the difference. You know, and they'll have that choice that they want to make. They don't want to really go along with this, but they be trying to say, "Well, you know, I don't want to do that, but, you know, this is the only kind of clothes my mother bought me. Blue jeans, or this or that, you know, T-shirts, you know, and you know, and sometimes it just ain't our idea. You know, kids gonna ask for anything that attracts their attention, you know.
Right.
And they might ask for, can I get a Michael Jordan shirt? Can I get a LeBron James shirt? I want to wear what LeBron is. Right then, when we see they want to develop another identity other than the name that you done gave them, you know, by Allah's permission, inshallah, you know, when we see them start deviating, wanting another identity, another ego that gives them more access to what we know is being seduced, you know, and look how just a short time back ago we didn't have that problem of single parents in Al-Islam, in our community.
You did.
This just happened in the last 15, 20 years to where it's common. It wasn't an accident or something or this or that or what. It became almost a way of life to see our teenage daughters and sons having children and ain't married, ain't going to high school.
Right.
And we don't say anything. This is a bad psychological effect when our children see they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because some of them had two kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would make a Muslim parent, daughter or son, you know, because of our not monitoring and doing what we supposed to do, that's protecting and also maintaining them. She come up with another baby, or he come up with another child, he done impregnated another girl, and he ain't even 17 yet? And he's still going to Juma. Ain't missing no Juma. He's not missing no Juma. He's at every. He helps out around the masjid. But what is going on to where he does not have the faith to not seduce his Muslim sister and have intercourse with her, knowing that this is really a sin?
That's right.
You know, where are the parents at? Right now, we know that right here in our city, you can walk right to the masjid and see some sisters who are under 20 years old might have three kids and still ain't married. And don't miss no Juma. You know, don't be in begging Allah for help, asking Allah to forgive them, but they still are under that opportunity to get a clear image of what the Islamic life is about. A clear image and responsibility of the Islamic life. It's their parents. So we have to look in the mirror like we do every day, as much as we do, and not see what fantasy Shaitan have us going to. We should be seeing if we are the Muslim parents that are in the Quran.
Right.
Are we the Muslim parents that will be comfortable in the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad? Just like I said this morning, you know, this is our destiny. Before we get out of here, we're getting ready to establish communities. We already have a bunch of them that we've established without really no sure or no consensus. Look how many masjids that we call communities. And some of them might not have but 30 people in them. But they have established and claimed themselves a community. But we're really getting ready to, inshallah, come to back to our common sense and put it on paper so people can read who is a member or of this community. And what community is it? Is it one of the Messiah communities? Because remember, this is the language of the common people. You know.
All right, missing.
You know, but yeah, but we all still know that with these restrictions we put on ourselves, what do you call it, Bayah, right? Bayah to an idea right now might not be the same idea next week. Because we're going to grow. Are we going to get to the point to where we seem like we're beginning to start to reject the idea of establishing the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad? It is almost getting foreign to us. Better to realize that's the first thing we heard when we came into Allah's mercy and he made us Muslim. We was the community of Prophet Muhammad then. But we're supposed to be growing into it to make it legit in this reality on here on earth, and especially here in America. We already know there was, what, 13, 17, 14 different communities here in America of immigrant Muslims who have Pakistani communities, and we even call it like it's normal. That ain't normal. There ain't no such thing as no Pakistani Muslim community. No Ahmadiyya community. You know, not Hanifa community. Not in truth. It's happening in this world right here, but we live in a world of falsehood, remember? You know, and everything in this world, Shaitan, it has been through the suggestion of Shaitan. That's why a lot of people come to America, because they can do what Shaitan suggested them. They can come here in this country and do it. Be what they want to be. Do what they want to do and tell you, assalamu alaikum. Remember right now, we're having people in our community, in front of our children, whose children probably receive it more than we do because they hear us talk about it so much, but they are beginning to see every now and then homosexual tendencies growing in our community.
Yeah, it's true.
And as adults, actually know some Muslims who are homosexual.
My goodness.
I remember one time in my past, I remember there was a 8 or 9 communities. I mean, people, excuse me, I'm sorry, families, in the Nation of Islam used to have swap parties and orgy parties with each other.
Oh, my goodness.
And they was fruit of Islam. Some of them were the suit-wearing tie captains in the masjid. And this is what they was doing until we finally got enough courage. And this went on for about 3 or 4 or 5 years, I imagine, before we actually called them out about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was common knowledge in the community.
Okay.
All the kids
do
it. And we have been ignoring it for years.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't ignore
okay.
it. And our children ain't ignoring it because they are threatened by it. Because Shaitan knows that he is trying to, what we call it, turn them out from Islam. You know, with Muslims.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, just want to say that this message of concern on Sunday and Tuesday, it takes a mother's touch.
Yes, sir.
I wish a lot more sisters would participate. Our brothers will encourage their wives, like I try to do mine. She was just sitting there a few minutes ago, and she just still has it in her attention. To find things in the Quran and stuff, and come on and help you with this wonderful opportunity. Again, being blessed by Allah for the job that you're doing, especially to concern the psychological effects of women and children of the world, and now old people. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah.
So keep up the good work, and we pray more sisters to get involved and come on and help you do this motherly job. This is a mother's job. The message of concern on Sundays and Tuesday is a mother's job, you know, first.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's what I say.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Brother Muhammad.
May Allah all praise be due to Allah. Yes, ma'am.
Everything that you said is well taken, and we appreciate you. We appreciate you teaching us and bringing us, refreshing our memories, too, on the religion of truly El Islam. Not Islam, but El-Islam. Okay. And give Sister Sharon the greetings for me, and I'm waiting for her whenever she gets ready.
Yeah, she knows.
She gets ready.
She sure
said
it.
I know. When she gets ready, I'm sure she's got a mouthful. She's coming from the best.
Oh, yeah. She's been reading. She's got
the ears and from all of them.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, then. I see Sister... Another one, you're bringing us on, Brother Muhammad. You're bringing us on. You're stirring us up. Buy some egg and subscribe. Is this Sister Quran or Brother Shuja?
Well, yeah. Well, no, it's me. Walika Asalaam. Alhamdulillah. I just had to laugh. That's all. I was trying to get all my laughing out.
I heard you. It's okay. Whatever it was about, it's still okay. Go ahead with it. What you got for us? You got your hand in the, you got your hand up now. Yes, you want to be brought in?
Okay.
You're there.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, what I want to say is I just want to add on to something that Brother Muhammad said, you know, and he asked a question about what happened to our children, and then he started giving examples. And I said, why? I said, just what I want to say is that, because I said, I was thinking, I said, something is missing. What is it that is missing? And what is what I thought about is just what he was talking about is the morals. We are not teaching our children morals, what you should not do. And that's right. That's right. And that's one thing that we're supposed to do. And even in the church, they don't even, I remember when we was in the church, they always said something about, they always taught the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
They made sure that we know the Ten Commandments. Right now, if you ask a Christian child, some of them, I don't know all of them, but, you know, I know one I asked, I said, you know the Ten Commandments? He said, yeah. And then he started saying, and the only thing he said, thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal.
That sounds like two commandments.
Teaching our children morals because they don't know. They only know what we teach them. And so that's what they only know what we teach them. They don't teach them. Then the TV teaches, and you see what's out there, and you know they have it all in the school, like everything is okay.
Right, right. Yeah, we do have to teach them Quran. We do have to teach them because we'd rather teach them than have them learn on.
Yes. Yeah, that was a saying too. You know, like they said, it was a saying that it's better for you to tell them. If you don't tell them, teach them. Remember that teaching, if you don't tell them to teach them, then somebody on their streets will.
That's right. And it may not be brought about and brought across the right way, but in their particular way, you know, and maybe the children, when they get a little older, maybe at that particular time even, maybe they'll think harder, they're inquisitive enough and to ask questions about things. You know how they do ask questions nowadays, and I pray a lot they continue to ask questions. Because that's the way they're going to find out. Because so many things, due to different circumstances, children are brought up in so many environments.
Right, alhamdulillah. And we got to remember that a lot of times our children, they don't be taught. We'll be thinking that's the style. And I know I did, because when I went to California, the girls was wearing their dress real short. You know how short we you was in the. If you was doing that time, ain't no much. You know how short we was wearing the dresses. Right. I thought that was the style. I did. I thought that was the style.
Yeah, and don't bend over.
Somebody told me, go get a real job. I said.
Yeah, constantly pulling the shirt like you can pull it down over that knees. It can't even come in the front.
Yeah, that was it. That's what we thought. Some of us. Yeah.
So that's we have to teach them, and then our children be thinking that these immoral things that's going on, they'll be thinking that that's the style, you know, because like if somebody think that, they'll think that that's the style. And see, there's one thing they say that you don't supposed to always bring out, you know, by homosexuals. So that's why I didn't want to really say that, you know, but I'm just saying, they say you don't supposed to bring out because that brings about that spirit. Every time that you bring that spirit in. So you just, you know, so you don't supposed to be bringing it up all the time. So, but anyway, our children, see, this is what it is. That was a teaching, you know, that was a teaching. But look, our children, if they don't be taught the morals about that, they will think that's a style because they're making it like a style. That's what that is.
Yeah, ain't nobody saying nothing about it, you know, so must be all right.
That's right. That's what they'll think. That's right. And it's on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on television. I'm telling you. You're right. You're right.
Definitely. People may think that we're running in the ground. Oh, why don't we got other things to worry about and think about that's more important than that? Really? For real, though?
We got to teach our children, you know, things and then like you said, in the church, they don't teach the Ten Commandments. I thought they teach the Ten, they don't teach the Ten Commandments in the church. Because I asked somebody, mm-hmm. I said, when y'all, don't y'all teach the Ten Commandments in the church? Don't time the preacher get up and say the Ten Commandments, you know, and they said, no.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what, that's what's wrong with our children, Brother Muhammad, is that they are not, we are not teaching them their morals, and we must teach them how to survive. Because you never know when, a disaster going to come, because it happened when everything go off, and you, and I'm going to tell you, if you don't have no economic power, you will get left behind.
Mm. Yeah.
They're trying to tell the children something nowadays, some of them. They say, oh, that's an old-fashioned way. They went out better when I would high-button shoes and stuff like that. And you know what I do? I laugh at them in their face and just laugh when they say stuff like that. I say, what is that? High-button shoes. What do you mean, high-button shoes? Like, I don't even know. Here I am my age. And I'm saying, what are you talking about? Do you know? You know, you tell me about it when I would high-button shoes. You know, when you're speaking the truth, it's always in. It's no particular time or era or for the truth. Always will stand. Truth is, and it will always be, you know. And then you come out with it and let them know if you know the truth, you know, and if you've studied your own self, it would behoove all of us parents to really study, even when we were younger and couldn't study like we wanted to. Some of them have was in the country and had to do sharecropping and had to do farming and milking cows and all that sort of stuff, you know, and then some didn't. Those that lived in the city didn't, you know, but some didn't have a chance to go to school like they wanted to and could and had the desire to. So, you know, when Allah gave that responsibility, see, Allah gave us that obligation and that responsibility. He trusted us, Allah trusted us with his most precious jewel, and that is the child. That is the baby, you know, and the child, and for us to raise it, because he felt that, and he knew, rather, that we were qualified, because that's the way he made us. We have that Ummi spirit. We know some of us waver sometimes and get stranded out there and for whatever reason, you know, but those are the ones we pray hard for, to let them get their heads together and come back in, you know. If they don't even accept back to use the mind right, the way Allah blessed you. You know, mind is Allah blessed you with. Use it the right way. You got common sense. You know, right from wrong. So.
But let me tell you another way. What I thought that another way also that I thought that our children would think that it's a style, because one day I was driving, you know, down the street in L.A. And I saw these three sisters. They were dressed like in African, all African outfits and long like that. And I said, wow, that looks good. I like that, you know. So I started dressing like that, you know, got me some Africans, you know, different stuff and made me different things like that. And one day I was going into the store and some brothers were standing up there and they said, I don't know what they said. And they, you know, and they was, you know, had papers and stuff in their hand. And they, as I said, and then when I became a Muslim, I said, oh, that's what them brothers would say. They thought that I was a Muslim.
You know what? It's so strange that you can say that, because I even look at a movie sometimes. I look at movies from Lagos, Nigeria, from Ghana, and all that sort of thing. You know, they even got one with the ghetto children, they call them, ghetto kids. And they dance, you know, and it was the African music and the wording, you know, that they have and all that. He even teaches with education like that. And it's so wonderful. You know, I said, I got to take me a trip to Africa. You know, the motherland, they call it, you know. But, you know, they, and on this movie that I look at periodically, they have this movie stars that with Islamic names, with Muslim names, like Mecca. You know, the Mecca, but Mecca, they pronounce it, and then Juma, you know, Juma, and different names, yeah, Lisa, Aisha, they have all those names, but there's, it's still a certain
producer or movie maker, and his name is Frederick, they call him Leonard, but Frederick Leonard. But in between that Frederick, he has an African name in there, and at the beginning, guess what the first name is? He calls himself Haji, but he's a movie maker. He's an actor, and it's just so funny how they still hold on. They don't practice like we do, a lot of them, though, but then some do. Yeah, they lost a lot of interesting things that we practice here, and they don't. And we do that when we go to different masjids and see the sisters and brothers coming from Africa and practicing the Elder Swam. Sometimes they feel like that we don't practice the way we should, and as if they know everything about Elder Swam and practicing it the right way, when strict practice.
No,
but it's different from us.
Alhamdulillah. Maybe they be putting their some of it be their culture, and not, you know, that's what that's one thing. Because somebody asked me, they said, what did Imam Wardi Muhammad, you know, have brought that was so different? And then that's what I told him. He took out that, you know, I said he brought in where he separated the culture from the from the religion, from Islam. I said that's what had happened, because a lot of them, you know, called culture, they say culture, tradition have nothing to do with all Islam.
Mm. Yeah, and he didn't separate it. We just went about it the right way, because it's reality what he taught. Reality what he taught us, and how to connect, how to read the Quran properly, how to worship properly. You know, like doing Salat. You know, before he came into view, Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, was teaching. I'll say like the little boy said there in California, he was cleaning us up. Elijah Muhammad was cleaning us up from being different people of the world, you know, into different things that were not natural, that we should be, not decent, you know, unclean, ungodly, not God-fearing, you know. So that's what Elijah Muhammad did and taught us to, you know, have respect for ourselves. And that's the reality. The same thing that Imam W.D. Muhammad taught us. He quoted straight from the Quran and Prophet Muhammad. So, I mean, it's nothing different, so.
I'm going to say this here. I don't know what the question was, but that's the answer that I had gave him. I'm going to tell you, I really don't know basically what the question was, but that's the answer that I gave him. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. It's so simple. It's our natural way of life, and that's our culture.
Since you put it like that, did I say I really don't know the base of the question, but I know that's the answer he gave me. But I know he asked me what the difference between something, and that's the answer that I gave him.
And that's
so whatever it was. Whatever it was, I probably, but I know he asked me. Anyway, that's the answer I gave him right there when he asked me the difference between something dealing with Imam Wardi Muhammad.
Right. And in these movies that I'll be watching too sometimes on the TV from Nigeria and different places over there, I say the motherland because that's the way I love to say it, the motherland. They know, you know, because of the different way they do the movies, and they project love for each other, brothers and sisters, you know. And I say every time you turn around, they're drinking wine or something like that. But then, too, you run across some of them, when they make a movie, they have a bottle, but it doesn't be wine, you know. They call it cola, you know. Introduce each other when they come to their homes to visit.
You don't have no alcohol in it, huh? They don't have no alcohol in it, huh?
Right. Uh-huh, cola. And they respect the elderly. Oh, boy, do they respect the elderly so much. So much they respect the elderly. And believe it or not, some of them
I guess it's like America too. Some of them respect their elderly, you know, a lot, and then some don't. And then some of them respect women so much they don't have to. They don't have to different parts. They got the village African women and the city African women. And the village women, they have to. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said they give respect to the elders because for one reason we hold the wisdom. We hold a lot of wisdom, and they have to get here to do labor to get that certain wisdom.
Yeah.
To know, to tell them, look both ways before you cross the street. Some kids still don't know to look both ways before they cross the street.
Mm, yeah, they just dash out. Yeah, like no cars would ever come or hit them. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I just love to listen to see what's coming from there. And I did. They have prayed, so you make comments. And I made a comment. I said, why is it that there? I said, why is it there I see where everybody's women are wearing wigs, you know, like the Caucasians, straight wigs and curly wigs and all that. And very few, some of them will wear their natural hair or maybe even get a wig that has a natural hair look to it. I said, and over here in America, a lot of African American women are going with the braids or with natural hair, not wearing wigs. A lot of them are not. They want to get back to dreadlocks they're doing, you know, over here. But that's what we're trying to get back to, some of the natural ways. But over there, they're wearing they're wearing wigs and all this makeup and all this stuff. These women over there. That's not tradition, but it's just different.
Oh, yeah, alhamdulillah. I just want to say one more thing I thought about that we need to start doing. And I said I'm going to try very hard, too, is socializing. Our children, this is one thing they're missing. I remember during the time every month we had somewhere, some master was given some kind of, if it's no more than family gathering or something like that, you know, because they know, because during that time, that's what we had to practice. And then that brings about unity. That's what we have to start doing, socializing. And our children got to know that. And because we are, that is part of our nature. And now it's something that, now that'll be something missing. Or, you know, that'll be something missing when they grow up and don't know how to socialize.
Right.
That's something we need to solve. Yeah, because I remember I said, dang, you ain't got nothing going on down here. I said, they're going to be glad to see these Muslims right here. And I never forget what the brother said. He said, when one of them was talking, and they were saying something about Muslims, and then he said, what it is that y'all not making no noise. That means there ain't no one out there saying Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah.
Oh,
that unity, being together, doing this and doing that, you know. And then they say, why? You know, that's what it was asking, a lot of things that was going on. Why? Because, see, homosexuals should never been legally. You don't do that. And I said to myself, I can't believe that there's more wrong people here in the United States than it is right. I just can't believe that. That should have never happened. Because Allah says no. And the Bible says no. And the Torah says no. So that should have never happened. You have, and then America is built on they honor the natural law. And the natural law is God's law. Allah's law, alhamdulillah, Almighty God. Alhamdulillah. So that should have never happened. That's all I got to say. It should have never happened. How are you going to break the Ten Commandments?
You should have never.
Go ahead. This is what I thought about. And if Jews got 90% of the wealth here in the United States, they rule in the United States, and they do not believe in that. So how did that happen?
You know what? That's a deep subject. It can go on and on and on and on, like it's still going on and on since time immemorial. Because we all know behind that hidden shield, things are coming out now, what's being done in different churches, you know, like Catholic churches and Jewish and everything. And there are some gay Jews, too.
All thing I say is that you got to remember that they are the ones that gave Christianity that lie. They gave them that lie. They even said it themselves. Read the Torah.
The lie.
That Jesus is God. That Jesus is the Son of God. They gave them that lie. That's how they know they was going to conquer. And someone would think that, and someone don't even know that they are their people. They think Jewish is a race. They don't know it's a religion. They even got it written as a religion. They don't even know.
Yeah, but
when the other Elijah started calling them Caucasians, they didn't even know they was Caucasian.
But the Jews are Hebrews. Their nationality is Hebrews, and they studied the religion of Judaism.
Yeah, that's what it is. This is a religion, but that's not a race though. It's a religion. That's what it is. It's a religion. Yeah. That's all. Just like they said, Muslim. You know. It's a religion.
Yeah,
it's not a race.
No, Judaism is not a race. It's a religion, right? But the ones who practice Judaism, they are Hebrews. Well, except for Marvin Gaye, so some of our people who adopted Judaism, because the youth would not even allow. Any African Americans or people outside of being a Hebrew, you could not even practice Judaism.
Because they wasn't going on his race. That's what they was going on. But what it is that Ethiopians are dark people. They are Jewish. They got a lot of Jewish. They're Ethiopian. They call Ethiopian Jewish Jews. That's what they call them. Yeah. And they're dark.
That's right. What's his name? That held people in bondage. Oh, Pharaoh. You know, Pharaoh. They were African. They were dark skinned people. The Pharaohs, the people. They were dark skinned people. You know, they were not Caucasian complected people. They were not light-skinned people at all. And all of those who they said, let my people go down Moses, go down in Israel land, tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. Those people who were Pharaoh's people were all dark-skinned people. So they were enslaving. Yeah, they were enslaving the dark and their own.
But you know what? But no, when you said that, you know, it came to my mind. I remember the imam said, he was saying, we should ask them, why do they hate us so much? Then it came to my mind, why do they hate us so much then? Like this or that. You know, that's what I'm talking about. What's the problem?
Because of our
Because I thought it, you know what? Because I thought that, I said, well, maybe the Jew, that's what you're saying. Okay, then. Maybe you're right. That might be what it is. But the thing about it, that God made all of us. That's what something they must don't know, that God made, he gave everybody the same equal when it comes to the brain. Yeah. He gave them the same molecules and atoms and all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, the body is made up all the same. But they
he didn't make no race superior over the other one.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, they know that we are knowledgeable people. We're the scientists. We're the mathematicians. you know.
I always thought that, look, this is what I want to say one thing. I'm going to let you talk. I'm just going to say this one thing. I always thought that the reason why they do the things they do, because they had a grudge. It was something that our ancestors did, you know, that to that race, and they trying to get even.
Wow. And it's just like the German Jews, when they were over there in Germany, and Hitler didn't like them because they wouldn't share the Jews wouldn't share their knowledge with Hitler and his people. They said that the Jews at that time were selfish. They didn't want to share what they had as far as knowledge and what, you know, and inventions and everything. Same way with us. So they don't want, that's why they don't like us. They don't want to give us credit for inventions and the knowledge that we have because of what's his name? They kept us, Lynch, Willie Lynch. He told them what to do and how to go about keeping us as slaves and with the slave mentality, the light-skinned people over the dark-skinned people. And we are all supposed to be of the same race.
And then don't forget the children against the parents. That was in there also. You don't have to listen to your parents. You know they teach that in school too. You don't have to listen to your mom or your dad.
Who said that? Who said, you say don't forget the children over the parents. What did you say?
I said don't forget. There's another one said that they kept the children, they taught the children how to disrespect their parents and their grandparents. You know, they like to say they turned the father against the son and the son against the father, you know, and all that. That's how that got in, where we won't listen to you the way we were saying so-and-so couldn't, you know, that you, they used that N-word, couldn't, you say, or what you say, so-and-so won't, can't tell me nothing.
They'll say that
N-word can't tell me nothing.
That was written in the Bible where they said there'll be a time when the mother against daughter and daughter against mother, father against son and son against father, there would become a time when that would happen and take place. And that's happening right today. You know, that's a prediction of the Bible, too, about that. So,
alhamdulillah.
Well,
there are some truths in the Bible.
Oh, yeah. They just done messed it up, though, and put their own words to it. And it's due to everybody's understanding. And that's how all these different opinions come from. And that's why they throw them in the Bible. And so many versions of the Bible has come into play, in people's lives. Because of everybody else's opinion and, you know, and the way they accept a certain passage or verse or whatever in the Bible, and it just gets it all mixed up, you know. That's why so many different versions of the Bible written. So many books.
Alhamdulillah.
The Catholic got theirs. Holiness got theirs. They're all Christians, though. They claim to all be Christians, but they got these different books. They got the Bible. They got the Missal. They got the different names for them. So Catholics call theirs Missal. Jehovah Witness call theirs the worship of the Kingdom Hall. What do they call it? Just Jehovah, but it's another name for it, the book they have. Because we have Jehovah's Witness coming here every Thursday. My husband just loves it. He does good dialogue with them. He does good dialogue with them one of them went at one time had almost pleaded with her to tell our Bob, Miss, you started first calling him Ark, A-R-K, Ark Bob. Instead of A-K-B-A-R, Ark Bob. Said, Mr. Akbar, don't disrespect us in your house. We just come to try to get an understanding. Just come to try. I'm laughing about this because it was so funny then, but we're always calling each other. We're talking to each other on the phone. We're sharing information with each other and our own looks from their Jehovah, wisdom of Jehovah. Some, I forget what the little book is. It's in there. It's in there. Every now and then I pick it up and in our love. They call and check on us to see how we're doing and everything. They still see that big sign out there in our front yard, removal of all racial images, removal of all racial images from worship, you know, or they portray divine, removal of all racial images that portray divine, yeah. Look like we've almost come through with this. Oh, wait a minute. I'm back. You know what? I'm sorry. I apologize. I went to close the blinds to my house in a couple of rooms, and I didn't come back. I'm just now getting back to the computer, and I didn't see the hands that were those who had their hands up. And I apologize for that. Please forgive me, y'all. Forgive me for that one. Oh, my. What is all of this here? What happened? Okay, there it is. And all over again. Okay, yes. Okay, there it is. And I do see somebody else. It looks like somebody I know. Yeah, Karan. You know who this is, too. Hold on one second. Okay, let me bring them in. Here he goes. Well, no, I don't know that one. I'm thinking about 609. Assalam alaikum. I'm talking to area code 909.
Well, look at my salon.
I'm
not everybody.
No phone number.
Yeah, the new 909 number. But anyway, let me just mention this because time is short. Both in the real and this spiritual world as well as in the program. But anyway, I just wanted to mention, you know, from Sister showed me a text. I don't know, it was on some type of form where that a brother there in Philadelphia. He was saying and showing the pictures of Lutheran graveyard, and that was between, I don't know how many, it looked to be between 30. A Muslim graveyard, and it looked to be between 30 to 50, you know, graves. And he was saying, you know, listen, these are graves of Muslim youth from the oldest is 25. He says, we have to do something about it. In essence, we're losing our youth. And I didn't, you know, she told me it was on some, I don't know what platform it was, but the brother was saying, you know, we have to do something. But on the positive side, there are young people from 18 to 30. They're actually, you know, doing some positive things as well. So it's not all negative, you know. So I just wanted to mention that before the answer. It's not all negative, but you know, that really surprised me. I was in shock. You know, when I saw that, you know, you see the graves, and I don't know the brother's name. He didn't give us his name, but it was a Muslim cemetery, you know?
Where?
In Philadelphia. Yeah, and the brother was saying these are Muslim graves with young people 25 and under. And they're out in that world, getting caught up.
My dear, that's what's happening. That's what's going on. They're in that world, and they're getting caught up because we went by Atlanta Masjid today, and there's some fish over there. There's a restaurant next door to the Masjid, and one of the brothers owned security.
came up to Abba and told him, you know, I have another did he say nephew or son? No, a son once who said it was 15 years old that was set up and got shot so many times, you know, from a short distance. He came out of someplace and they just mowed him down, they shot him down. He was 15 years old, and he said, "This is the second one or the third one in a matter of a month's time."
Wow! So you know, we have to do something, you know.
He said up there, and this is a Muslim brother. He said so many gangs going on up there in New York City. If you're new in a certain area, you know how to say you took my territory, you're my territory. So many gangs up there, if somebody see you in a certain territory and they don't know you, you're not known, and then you don't proclaim to be of one of their members in that area, you get rolled down.
Yeah. Okay, and let me mention this before we go, you know, I mentioned, you know, actually, you know, I talked about the angels blowing the rude of spirit, you know, after 120 days, you know, and you asked me if I could show that. Where is it? It's in Bukhari. It's in Bukhari 30:36, you know, and it says, each of you is constituted in the womb of the mother for 40 days. Then he becomes a cloud of blood for a similar period, and then a piece of flesh for a similar period. Then Allah sends an angel who is ordered to write for a theme. He is ordered to write down his deeds, his livelihood, his date of death, and whether he will be blessed or wretched. This is in Sahih Bukhari. And, of course, Bukhari is the highest, you know, respected, you know, hadith that is in the accuracy.
Mm-hmm. Now, what book you said it is? Because I have the whole volume. What volume or book you said that is in Bukhari? Right?
That's in Sahih Bukhari, 30:36. That's the number of hadith, 30:36, Sahih Bukhari.
Okay. 30:36.
Huh?
What are
these
from? Okay. Now, here is Suja on.
Okay.
So, Suja, I want to speak before we ask our wife to close out for us. His hand is up. Did he please?
Everything was real good. I enjoyed the show. I said, everybody was right on it. We enjoyed the show.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, I saw you listening, and it's so beautiful for you to be listening and not even put your hand up to say anything. I was wondering about when you were going to put your hand up to say something tonight, but now you do.
Everybody was handling it. They were handling it.
And that's what we're supposed to do, right?
Man.
We're in this together
before
the
hamlet. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, then. I think it's time now. It's 9:02. If nobody else has any last words to say or anything, we'll ask my husband if he would close out. Brother Akbar, are you on the line? I see your number. Assalamualaikum, Brother Akbar. Let me see. Oh, maybe he's not in, too. Okay. Like children say, my bag. Let me bring you. Let me bring you in there. Assalamualaikum.
Assalamualaikum. Assalamualaikum.
Can you hear me?
I want to say this right quick before I close out.
Okay. Yeah,
it's all around the country. They're killing our Muslim children because this has been told to be done by somebody up in the main office. Kill off our children. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we better get on the ball because these people are not playing with us. You can tell a lie for so long, and you see the results of that lie, and that lie will take root if nobody don't uproot that lie. So that's what happened to you. That's the second son of that period of God this year. The other son got killed. His wife left Islam and went and married a preacher, the ones that he's a mother of, and when he become a preacher, and they hemmed him up and killed him, they said. But anyway, this is going to continue. And like you said, something got to be done. Leadership got to start addressing this. And we can't just, I said, idly by and act like ain't nothing happening. Allah said he never going to change that condition until we change it, until we make an effort to change it. So, okay, well, let me close with a prayer. And I want to ask why do the Jews do that? These people, they own all the skyscrapers, they own all the dependencies, so they don't want to share with us. They don't want to share. They greedy, and that's the sign of a devil, to be greedy. And they own everything, and they do not want to share. They spend a lot of money just to keep us divided, and their money paying off for them. We still divided. So may Allah bless us all come together, put down the division.
That's right. That's what they say in Hitler. Why they said that Hitler thing, the Holocaust, was because the Jews were so selfish and didn't care.
They're doing the same thing in Israel. They're killing the Palestinian children. They're killing the children. So these are the pharaohs now. Yeah. Okay, well, with the name Bismillah Rahman Rahim, or Allah, the Lord is this most perfect call of this prayer that we offer. Please bestow on Muhammad the mean the greatest. Please elevate Muhammad to the most exalted place where thou hast promised him, and thou never break thy promise. Oh Allah, please continue to bless us with good in this world and good in the next. And please, Allah, keep us away from your hellfire.
Amen. Well, thank you, everyone, for coming on and contributing. And it's always a blessing for all of us when this happens, because we're putting our minds together, we're sharing what we've been blessed, what Allah has blessed us with, to be able to connect and stay connected with them. So we love you all, and we pray that Allah bless all of us with the peace in our home and environment, the peace that only He can give. Assalamu alaikum. Stay safe.
Wow, alaikum assalam.